but make it not just an enhancement of penalty. In effect, it's a higher type. It is yes a supplemental offense to whatever the other offenses are. And you could say that any crime charged, you just add the words involving use of a firearm or whatever phraseology, and you've got the enhanced crime charged. That's my intention.
How about if there's a problem?
I will see what I can do.
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman.
Fix it, bring it back, move it.
Do you want, is it the committee's preference that we add language to 610, or do you want a separate section?
I mean,
an additional section to 610, perhaps?
I think we just need to amend 610, and then we'll also need to add.
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
Let's do that. About this one later, because this is not a.
Okay.
If we have to, I'll.
All right, I can sort it out.
I'll handle it.
Okay.
What do we have next, Council?
Well, we're into the study at this point.
The study. Okay, we're giving them fingerprints on handguns for the period of the study. Well, they're going to have the handgun fingerprints, but
right.
We want to take, I think it's a consensus of the committee that we want to take fingerprints away except for handguns.
Right, and that has already been deleted from the original bill. The study starts on page 29, and the language that was in there originally that had to do with the thumbprints for the long arms has already been deleted.
Okay. I think one of the things we need is a specific. When can the study first be begun? Well, if we give them 1 year from the effective date, 1 year or 2 year study?
I think it's a 1 year study.
Okay.
I had heard that it was a 2 year study.
I thought it was two.
They're not going to get started, and I mean.
In order to report back to
the next legislative assembly, it can't be a 2 year study.
Okay, let's give them a 1 year study.
It's not 2 years in between.
It'll take them 2 years to do a 1 year study.
It seems to me I want to say a 1 year study, and I'm looking for Corey, and he's not here, but I think it's a 1 year study.
Okay, let's give them a 1 year study. It'll be 1 year from the, they'll do their collection, 1 year from the effective.
So September 89 to September 90, then it would have to be ready in time for January 91. So it can't be more than a year.
I would agree with making it a one-year study and specifying that in Section 29. I wouldn't necessarily give them a specific starting date. Either that or I'd look for some starting date that's sometime after what would likely be the effective date of the Act. I'd say perhaps from October 1, 1989 to October 1, 1990, then you've got a clear timeline that they're supposed to deal with. They'll know the Act has passed. It hasn't been effective yet. They can gear up, and then they kick in as of October 1.
How does it strike everybody? Let's give October 1, 1990.
Probably going into effect on the 29th of September, but that's fine.
Then they'll be ready for it.
But they'll have 90 days.
Okay. Well, maybe
I mean,
we should just make it a one-year study to be completed no later than January 1, 1991, and they can report to the Legislative Assembly. That gives them some fudge factor as to when their start and ending time for recording all these documents is. How's that,
Chair? Yeah, I just recommend that we run this proposal by the people who are going to be doing the study to make sure that it's going to.
Who the heck do we have that was going to do the study?
state police.
Yeah. We don't have to do it now. I'm just saying at some point we need to talk to a Major Infro and make sure that we're not making his life unnecessarily hard.
Well, I suggest the January 191 language, and then I'd be flexible at changing that. It says to be completed by. They may complete it 3 months earlier if they want.
They also have to submit the results to the next session, so if they're not done by January 1, 1991, they're going to be scrambling.
Do you have any help for us on this?
Won't be the first.
Rally.
Can you give us any help on this, any guidance? You were with the work group that worked. Can you please step forward?
Riley, Salem Police. It was the intent to have that study available for you in the next session.
And is it a one-year study?
I think your discussion of the flexibility of the starting date with a due date, in other words, a firm due date at the end would be fine.
Chief, it's supposed to be a one-year study, right? It's supposed to be a one-year study?
Well, it was to be an interim study, and we discussed the time frames and the dates, and we figured it would probably turn out to be a one-year just by nature of having
but nobody's hung up on
the report.
That.
I'd like to propose, Mr. Chairman, that we say a one-year study to be completed no later than January 1, 1991.
But what if we just gave them November?
They may decide the Christmas season isn't good, or I'm just thinking they may come up with some reason why certain dates don't work for them. And
I just kind of thought it would be appropriate for the study to end on Halloween.
My proposal, Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend this proposal that the study be a one-year study and that the study be completed by January 1, 1991.
I wonder if that's somehow
going to fill in the gap. No, it's just to be completed no later than.
We want the language to be clear then that it's a one-year study, but we'll figure it out later than. Okay. So moved.
And one of the issues that Representative Bryan has raised, and I don't know what the court, how far his discussions went. There's some proposed language in the working document starting on page 16. But one of the things that he was toying with was taking all the weapons that were confiscated during this period of study, selling them, and using the proceeds to help offset the costs of the study. Interestingly, the state of Washington does that routinely, rather than taking the guns and selling them back to, rather than taking the guns and destroying them, they sell them back and use the money for other purposes.
Do we know what the current policy is of the state or of the various agencies as to what they do when they confiscate firearms right now? Chief Riley, could you help us with that?
Chief Riley, Salem Police. Currently, there is a statute that provides for sale of confiscated firearms. Most that follow that process sell to federally registered firearms dealers on an auction basis, and the funds go back in the general fund.
So would we really need to have anything added to this bill, or just leave the current legislation alone? From your perspective.
There for that sale, it would be more keeping track of the ones that apply under this study that would be the...
Mr. Chair? I'm looking at counsel, or Representative Miller, Representative Mannix, or you, wondering... The forfeiture bills, don't they have a provision, 2282, have a provision in it that will allow localities to state what offenses will trigger the forfeiture process?
2282, as I understand it, will only apply to drug offenses.
No, I think there's a provision in there that allows localities to expand and state what the terms, what the specific offenses will be in their town that will trigger forfeiture. And I'm just wondering if that's not a good process, in fact, to use, and that we couldn't at least put a provision in this bill that somehow would invite people to use the 2282 process.
Well, I think I'd have a question for some of the witnesses, if I may, Mr. Chairman, on that point. May I?
Please
Mr. Nichols or Chief Riley. Are there any current problems where police agencies are destroying firearms?
Yes, there are some cities by ordinance that are doing just that. They're destroying them.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, John Nichols, Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association. I don't know what the actual dollar amounts involved are, but I've heard the representative from the city of Portland, when they have firearms destructions, saying they burn up $1 million worth every 6 months, which may be a slight exaggeration and may not. Nobody knows.
I think,
Counsel, can you think of anything in the forfeiture process statute, the bill that we just passed, or that we're, I guess we passed 2282. Can you think of anything in that process that would not be, that would not work with firearms under these circumstances?
It would,
I just hate to create two sets of mechanisms for.
It would work. I think that Representative Bryan's intent was narrow, which was, if we're going to be doing all this stuff and we're going to bring in all these guns, then let the guns pay for the study. So his intent and the language that he had drafted and given to me.
What happens when the study's done, though? I mean, we're still going to be confiscating guns. You're still going to be.
And then life goes on, and the money goes back to whomever. Or I mean,
that's my point.
Localities can do what they want.
I'm talking about post-study.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I think we should take a good idea and expand on it. And the good idea is, I hate to see even $100,000 worth of legitimate firearms destroyed because some police chief in some community decides that's a neat thing to do, rather than auctioned off. Now, we'd need to make a distinction between, say, some home-manufactured zip gun that's confiscated. I don't want to see that around anymore. But say some drug dealer got his hands on a collector's item and was using it in the commission of a crime, even a non-drug crime. I hate to see that kind of firearm destroyed under some local policy, and I would prefer to see us just address the whole issue statewide, that any police agency that confiscates firearms, which are, I would describe it loosely as legitimately manufactured firearms, and we're going to have to work on a definition there, perhaps, may destroy home-crafted, non-legitimate firearms, but the legitimate types of firearms should be sold through some process, or they should go. See, forfeiture requires a civil action to forfeit the property. And I think I'd want to leave forfeiture alone right now, but have a separate. I'm talking about the person who's arrested at the scene of the crime, and he's got a gun on him. I'd hate to see that weapon destroyed because some locality had a policy just to destroy them.
Let me ask one question before we go on further. I think I've talked to some people about this. They were concerned that the cost of doing the auctioning would.
Questions?
Representative Calhoun, Chief Riley, that has not been my experience. I've been an administrator in two different departments. We collected until the auction would be at a point it would be beneficial to have someone come in and bid and for us to realize some profit out, so to speak, out of the sale, so it didn't cost us more than the auctioneer was costing and that kind of thing.
Chief Riley, what do you think about an idea that says that all firearms confiscated by any police agency throughout the state of Oregon, I'm just throwing this out, would be forwarded to the Oregon State Police for regular auctioning, with the proceeds of that auctioning to be divided proportionately between the police agency that seized and the Oregon State Police? Maybe State Police would get 20% of the proceeds and the local police 80%. So the State Police can, in effect, make use of the economies of scale and hold every 3 months or every 6 months a large-scale auction of all these firearms, then remit the proceeds. It's pretty easy to track the items like any other auction. This came from the city of Salem. Remit the proceeds to the city of Salem on this item. And allow the state police to make a determination as to what I'll call non-legitimate firearms that ought to be destroyed as opposed to auction, and state that manufactured firearms should be subject generally to auction. Homemade firearms generally could be determined to be non-legitimate.
Chairman, Representative Mannix, the The issue of destruction of firearms is a controversial one from community to community. I would, and I understand the concept, and I personally think there's value in that, and I practice that. However, I probably, without speaking for the state police, would doubt that they either have the facility of storage or the personnel available to handle them. I've got a property room, and I've probably right now, I would guess I've got a couple hundred firearms in it. It's not unusual in the drug and forfeiture situation for us to seize 4, 5, 6, 10 in one execution of a search warrant. And under the forfeiture law, they're forfeited as part of that profits and of the drug deals.
What if we said firearms not subject to any other forfeiture statute?
Under current law, let me ask that a little bit. Under current law, I think there's all the proceeds from the forfeiture items.
Under the state, there's the local ones that are in the courts right now on appeal.
Chief Riley, excuse me.
Would it help any of them? I don't know what the experience is with the state, but I assume the state is having any kind of option currently. The state have any kind of option?
I don't know.
I believe they do.
But they would have to, they'd be giving all that money that they made,
I'm going to have to leave again.
Do you want to do this today?
No, that's my understanding. Their forfeitures go to the Commons Court.
After expenses. Mr. Chairman, John Nichols, Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association. It is my understanding that the state police run regular auctions of forfeited firearms. If storage were a problem, they could conceivably do it monthly if 6 months was too long for their storage facilities. We would definitely support such a program.
What if, Chief Riley and Mr. Nichols, what if we simply ask that you gentlemen check with the state police as to their willingness? We'll give them a cut of the proceeds, which I think ought to be put into a state police fund so that they know that they're not just doing this as an act of charity. Some proportionate amount of the proceeds would be kept by the state police. The remainder would go back to the police agency which seized the firearm and remitted it to them. If you could run the proposal by them, maybe we should pass over that for the moment, because I don't want to impose on them an obligation they don't want to take on. But I like the idea of knowing that, every month or whenever, the one place to check is the state police. They're going to be auctioning off the firearms. And I know that the Division of State Lands does a lot of things. The state has a number of agencies which somehow manage to dispose of property. General Services even does this for their old trucks. But where the local police would then know, hey, look, we don't have to hassle with auction arrangements anymore. On the other hand, there may be some counter thoughts like, someone in Eastern Oregon always liked being able to go once a year to the local police auction, and now they're not going to be able to do it. So there may be some counter information that we don't have right now. May I suggest, I'm willing to explore the option, but I wouldn't put together a proposal until we heard back. We could hear back pretty fast.
I think what we're looking at is, study.
Well, I don't even want to say to fund the study, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to say, well, to fund the study first, but second, after that, we keep keeping the costs, keep the money, but use it for law enforcement purposes. Assuming it doesn't have to go into the... We could even say if the Common School Fund bill doesn't pass, otherwise the state's share would go in the Common School Fund, but the local police would still get their share. I think it's something that's an interesting idea, but it hasn't been fleshed out enough to present to the subcommittee yet. Did you gentlemen contact perhaps our committee council about the reaction of your constituencies to this idea?
We don't have much time to think of this, but let's work on a couple of little aspects of the study and figure out why for today.
I have to go back to labor.
Vote. Thank you, Representative. And I have a proposal as well, getting close to session time.
I have a -7 there that I'd like to propose. I think it's pretty clean, and if you're comfortable with it, you could go with it. If not, and you need explanation.
We've got the ending date now on the study, so we know.
What about destroying those docks in the big way?
Seems to me we added that in.
Okay.
If not, I'll make sure that it was done. Seems to me the committee discussed that and agreed to it.
We'd say within 30 days of the completion of the study, they would destroy all the documents.
Section 31, page 36 of the Dash 9 amendments is a new section that says the duplicate and triplicate sheets submitted to local law enforcement agencies and the State Department of State Police under Section 29 and 30 of this Act shall be destroyed within a reasonable period of time after the information needed for the study has been transferred from the sheets.
Anybody happy with rather than reasonable period given? Make that conceptual motion. Objection? Carries.
Okay. Are you going down your list?
I had a couple.
I can interject something.
Let's see, there was. Okay, what else do you have, Council Love?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it has been brought to the committee's attention that antique firearms, that the possession and I guess primarily possession, I don't have to read this more cleanly, but that antique firearms have to be exempted from this act. I have been given language from the Federal Firearms Act, which defines antique firearms. It would be my recommendation to the committee that we adopt the federal definition of antique firearms and then exempt them from the provisions of this act.
I'll move that. Any objection? Any objection? So move.
She was saying antique firearms and not anti-firearms. I was fine. I was trying to figure out what in the world the federal definition of anti-firearm was.
Kind of like the...
I probably have a...
Enunciate, just say so.
Kind of like the Star Wars defense system, an anti-firearms system.
Right.
Okay. Okay, we got the notion that we're making them destroy these documents. Did we ever reach any consensus on whether or not the documents were going to be sent back to the applicant?
The last discussion was that it would be problematic in terms of handling the paperwork. I mean, sending back the duplicate and the triplicate, or sending back the original?
I think sending back the original.
I think the original goes back to the... What? Back to the dealer, doesn't it? The original stays with the dealer currently.
The original stays. We're looking at mostly the fingerprint that they were given, because we've got the section where they have to destroy the documents. I'm trying to lead into Representative Clark's civil action section.
Right now, the way the bill reads, the original stays with the dealer.
And the original would be the one that with the finger.
That's correct. No. Triplicate is had one with the has the fingerprints.
Okay. And the triplicate
goes to the state police and then gets destroyed.
Eventually gets destroyed.
At least for the time and period of the study.
Act. Any consensus or
well,
new language is,
yeah, help me find where we are.
I'm looking. Page 4, line starting on line 3.
This, in my, the language that is in front of us, in my view, does not, it creates a private right of action, a very limited private right of action. It does not necessarily emphasize that a law enforcement agency's violation of Section 2 is a civil rights violation. Well, somebody could. I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but I could probably find some people who are. If I were a judge or if I were a law enforcement agency, if I were anybody else reading this language, I would say that exactly what that says, and somebody's got to go in and sue and make the law enforcement agency do this. It does not declare that it's a civil rights violation. I think that is important, perhaps more from a symbolic standpoint than from an operational standpoint. You're not going to get much different operative language than is in subsection B there. That's really what we want. We want people to be able to go in and sue and say, hey, you've been collecting information unlawfully, and I'm going to get a judge to order you to uncollect it. Let me tell you my concern, though, that several places through... I don't have enough information yet, and here's why I don't have enough information. I don't know whether this provision, in and of itself, is going to cause the law enforcement community to pull their support from the bill. If that's going to cause that, we may want to go right ahead and do it, but I think we should know that. And let me tell you, I think that subsection B is more important than subsection A. Subsection A is the one that nails a public employee who intentionally violates the paragraph with a Class C felony. I think from the standpoint of making sure that the information is not gathered unlawfully, I think the private right of action probably will be more effective than a Class C felony for the specific public individual, public employee who violates the section. Because it's just, having worked in local government a little bit, I know that local governments are more afraid of civil rights lawsuits than they are of one of their employees being charged with a crime. That's my opinion, anyway. So I guess what I'm asking for is a chance to talk to some people in the working group and find out whether this provision in and of itself is going to cause them to pull their support.
I have a question. One other section.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, its paragraph applies to starting on page 26. It's all of C, C, A, and C, B.
I think, whatever language it takes to make it clear that we're talking about something and not just from duties imposed. The concern I would have is that I suppose we'd want this to apply to the destruction of all the documents by the state police and possibly some other sections of this.
I think so, too. I mean, if you're going to do it, then what we need to say is that taken in totality, the obligations wrapped up in this bill and imposed on the law enforcement community are seriously enough that violations of those will be considered violations of civil rights, the constitutional civil right to own a gun, and that we're going to treat that just like any other civil right, whether it's equal protection or anything else. I can get an answer to the question that I have by then.
I'd also be happy to look into it. I think there may be other places, current Oregon law, to add this to, as opposed to putting it in this bill as a new section. And I will.
I think that's true.
That's what I was sitting here doing.
And I can't find it. I mean, I can't.
I mean, so my initial recommendation may be to think about taking it out of a new section and putting it in the current ORS section, and where other civil rights types of claims are established. I think that may be cleaner right there. But
that might work better. Council, I represent. Miller is going to have to leave, which means we're going to have to shut down. So I want to that we're missing that we wanted to address that we haven't. before we have to shut, because we're going to have a de facto end of the work session here in a second.
It seems to me, where's my list? It seems to me that I have no other minor or technical amendments at this point. I have to go back and go through the original list and clean it all up, but at this point I think the committee has addressed all of the minor concerns and the technical concerns that were raised initially.
We still have some other things, I think, coming up. Oh, one thing on the bigger frame for the study. Are we looking at bringing handguns into perpetuity or just for the period of the study?
I don't know the answer to that. I want to know what the proposal was.
Yeah.
Representative Calhoun, Corey McGregor, Speaker's Office. The agreement is that fingerprinting is separate from on handguns is separate from the study, so it would be for. Yeah.
For handguns or just or
for handguns.
Your weapons permits.
No, for handguns.